Thank you very much for those that share prayer requests to us. You know what? Us pastors often don't know because we haven't been told. And so often we say, well, they didn't pray. Well, unless we get told, then we won't know. And so please do share what the burdens that God lays upon your hearts with us. I know that as I start my day, I have a prayer time that I pray for the church. Wednesday nights, we have a group that comes to my home, and we have a time of prayer as well, praying for the needs of the church, and that continue to do that. I'm thankful for the group that gathers together, that we can pray as God lays needs upon our heart, and that we are blessed to be able to do that. I just also just want to just share briefly this morning that sitting beside Caitlin right there, which is one of our missionaries, is her future teammate for Papua New Guinea by the name of Daniela Kress. And so she's here visiting Caitlin for this time. And so we're thankful that we get to be introduced to her during this time. But that they went through the linguistics course there in Missouri together, both graduated, now are linguists, able to translate the Word of God. And so that's their goal, to team up in Papua New Guinea and be able to do that here, hopefully, by August, is what we're seeking the Lord for their leaving for the field at that time. She comes from Ontario, and so there are just good things that come from Ontario. And just that, I want you guys to know that as well this morning. Well, I want to start, and I've titled my message, Where Are You Looking? And I thought about what to share on, as Pastor Gary laid on me, I could do a one-off, is what he called it. And so, okay, what do I share on? Because there's so much that I could share on. And we've been talking about through a sermon series on anxiety and depression, and not that I'm specifically looking at that this morning, but I specifically looked at that thought about losing heart, and often we can lose heart as we walk through life and the experiences of life. And so that's kind of what I want to look at this morning. See, we're walking through troubled times, and if you are anybody who is current with the news, then you know that turn on any news source and you see what is going on around the world, the troubles that are going on. And you wonder, okay, what is all this and how does it affect me? And that often we receive our information through multiple means, whether you receive it through television or whether you receive it through YouTube or whether you receive it through social media or email or other means possible, and that we all have our sources that we like to look at. Depending on the source that you are looking at, then often what it does is it creates a lot of angst in our lives. It creates a lot of, what is going on? Because it seemingly is looking like it is just coming from at us from every angle. And so where can we turn? And often what we are watching and what they seek to like to present to us is something that is alarming because it seemingly sells on our information sources. We are looking at alarming things, and we're trying to figure out how do we process that. And what happened is that we become callous to the tragedy of others, especially to the degree that it is removed from us by distance. So much tragedy is coming at us nowadays that what it is that the seemingly innocent little events don't seemingly affect us any longer. So-and-so got killed at this port. Well, that's not as tragic as a multi-vehicle accident. That's not tragic like some of the events that have been going on where multiple people have been affected. And what it's done is that it's developed in our lives a callousness towards the news source, a callousness towards the tragedy and the afflictions of others, because we are being inundated from every angle. And so the temptation is to develop a fortress mentality of self-preservation. And we pull inward and we look for ways to insulate ourselves. And maybe that is true about you as well, as you seek to deal with this tragedy, as we seek to deal with affliction that you may be experiencing, or maybe you have walking with others who are walking with that. And our temptation is to pull within ourselves and to develop a fortress mentality. See, we have enough problems at our own doorstep to have time to worry about or listen to the stories of others around about us. And so as we seek to walk in fellowship with other people, as we seek to walk in fellowship as the body of Christ, the church, and we're all the time hearing different stories of people that are walking through different events, And so I shared a couple of this morning, is that how do we, the body of Christ, walk with these individuals through their tragedy when we have experienced so much tragedy in our own selves? We have enough problems, as I shared, on our own doorstep. This is not to deny the reality of many of us are experiencing much of what Paul calls as affliction. And the word affliction is defined for as being squeezed, pressure, and real hardship. It is the same word used for squeezing olives to extract the oil. And maybe that might be a wonderful experience of how you would describe what you are walking through at this present time. The affliction is feeling like you're being squeezed. And Paul here talks about affliction here as we're going to come to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, looking at verses 16 through 18. So if you have your Bibles this morning, let's take a few moments and look to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning at verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. See, the last three verses of this chapter is connected to all that Paul has been seeking to mention throughout this chapter. Because begins with that word therefore, and as soon as you see that word therefore, then you should be looking to see, okay, how does this develop from what he has been sharing already? And yes, these are his conclusions to what he's been sharing here in the fourth chapter. In fact, we already see that the first verse here, when he says not to lose heart, it's like a repeat of the first verse. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we receive mercy, we do not lose heart. And he's continuing on that thought and the importance of that thought, because in the body of Christ, it is possible that we could be individuals seeking to walk with the Lord, and that our status would be that we are losing heart. And Paul wants to address it here this morning. Verse 8 is part of his story as well. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. That is part of Paul's story. That is part of the road that he is walking. And so yet he speaks to that here as we come to these last four verses. This is one of the many passages where he shares the story with us as well in chapter 1, verse 8 of 2 Corinthians. Our affliction which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves. And then you can turn to the 11th chapter and you see a complete listing there of some of the things that God took him through. Here is an individual who we'd say, if there was possible to lose heart, this would be somebody who would say, wow, he's in a place where this message definitely is for him. Losing heart can be interpreted as losing one's motivation in continuing a desirable pattern of conduct, to become faint-hearted or despondent, cowardly, surrender as well. And maybe this morning, if somebody said, how do you characterize your status that's where you are at this morning? We would say that maybe is true of us, that I'm about to play that place of losing heart when it comes to this place of the things that I'm walking through. But verse 16 categorically states he does not lose heart. As we see there in verse 16, therefore we do not. And that word is a word in the Greek which means that it's not possible. It's categorically no. There is no room for that. And in Paul's life, he admits to that. There is no room in his life that for the place of losing heart. It would have been easy to get discouraged and find those who desire to listen to his message and commit the rest of his life to ministering to them. Paul had much, and he traveled much, and he did find pockets of individuals who sought and follow the leading of his message. And it would have been easy to say, wow, I'm just going to go and move into this corner and I'm going to establish my church here because these people are willing to listen. And it would have been easy to do that. Or you could be like David who said, and I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest, as he says in Psalm 55, verse 6. And often that is our feeling when the midst of affliction comes, whatever that may be, whether that be outside or that be within, I'm going to seek to run and find that corner. I'm going to seek to run from that affliction. This is often a strong wish in the midst of adversity, but it was not Paul's wish. We often determine God's will based on the ease of ministry. And often as we look around at our lives and we're seeking, God calls us into certain areas, and all of a sudden hardship comes, adversity may come into what God has called us to. Then we believe, oh, this must not be God's will for me because of the hardship that I'm experiencing, and that's not true. God may have you walking down a road as he did with Paul into the midst of adversity in the calling that God has for you. Now, I understand that there is ministries that God does not call us to. There's ministries where God hasn't necessarily gifted you into those ministries, and we shouldn't be involved in those ministries. But as we lay our lives before the Lord and we seek his leading in our lives, God, what do you have for me? Because if you are a child of God, you have been gifted by him for ministry. You have been gifted by him with a purpose. And the calling of our lives should be, is that God, how, where is that calling? And let me be involved and let me walk in the strength that only you can give in the midst of that, even if there is adversity in that. See, Ephesians 2 verse 10 shares with us, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. It's like God has a path and a plan for your life as he called you, as he adopted you as one of his children, and as you became one of his dear children, and he's laid a plan for your life. If we seek to say, God, here I am, lead, direct, as you see fit, because I know that you have a plan for me wherever that may be. It may be into adverse situations. It may be into great opportunities of joy as well. But wherever God leads, then we know that we go with him and his strength and his ability. It may not be an easy work in the sense that you will not be tempted to lose heart, but it is a work where you can experience, like Paul, his blessings in adversity. See, number one, he understood that his outer man is decaying, yet his inner man is being renewed day by day. He understood that truth. Yes, he was experiencing outer decay in his life. But he also, as he sought to reflect on his relationship with the Lord, as that time with the Lord grew, he understood that he was growing deep in the things of the Lord, and God was doing a work in his inner man. His afflictions are momentarily light, which is producing an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. Now, that might be hard to understand, especially when you read chapter 11 of 2 Corinthians. How in the world would you determine that this is light? But I believe as Paul had his eyes upon eternity, he understood that this was only momentarily, this was only light in comparison to what God had for him through all eternity, that he was being prepared for him. And then thirdly, the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And so he, as he walked through different experiences of affliction in his life, whether that be health, personal related, or whether that be ministry related, then he understood and lived with an eternal mindset before him that this is temporary, how many years God actually gives me in this life. See, Paul was a person who was old before his years. We know that maybe he was around in his 60s when God took him and he was martyred. All the afflictions he took for the gospel would have aged him significantly, and he knew that his inner man was in decay. But this did not depress or cause him to lose heart, as he realized that his inner man was being renewed, not all at once, but day by day. It wasn't all of a sudden as he saw and came in prayer that suddenly God gave him a magic bullet. That's not what is being shared here. What is being shared here is that day by day, God was renewing him. As he got to walk in the power of the Spirit, as he got to walk in God's strength, then God was doing a work in his inner man. That he was seeking to have his eyes more focused upon the Master who was seeking to lead him. Our fallen material man is moving towards decay, spoil, or destruction. It is a natural progression that we all face. The things that we used to do and be able to get done in a short period of time seemingly take longer today. And we have great feelings afterwards as well as when we do them. Wow, what I used to be able to do didn't have this result. I didn't feel this way. But now when all of a sudden I try and attempt that, then all of a sudden I'm experiencing great pain from that. We can fight it. We can slow it down. but it will come for all of us. It will come for us. It will come for those who we love as well. We can get discouraged and we can lose heart over our own decay, but we can also lose heart in watching others decay. And so let's tell the story of one time when I was out with my grandmother. We were out for breakfast one day and we were sitting around the table there. And my grandma was, I think, nearing 90 years old at that time. And she was a lady who was very industrious throughout life. She had a flower bed that was very extensive. She prepared flowers for the church, and she did much in putting bouquets together for the church so that it might be a wonderful display. But as she was nearing 90, she was experiencing that decay. And so she asked me if I could take her to the Toronto Airport Blessing. I'm not sure if you've ever heard of that, but it is a charismatic church just outside of Toronto, and that we would call it maybe hyper-charismatic, to the point that they would do very strange things in this church. And I had to explain to my grandma that, Grandma, that won't help in sparing you from old age. It's something that's naturally happening, and to try and convince her of that fact. But while this is ongoing, what is also ongoing is the truth that our inner man, the inward, non-physical, spiritual man, is being made new. And this is a continuous work of God. It's a work that is being acted upon by an outside power, the supernatural power of God, and especially the Spirit of God. And so that is what is taking place as we seek to walk through what God has called us in this life to do. So as a believer chooses to saturate his or her mind with the abiding seed, the living and active word of God, and obey the truth imbibed, the Holy Spirit progressively renovates the mind, not like remodeling of a house, but generating a brand new way of thinking, so that the way we see, think, and feel lines up more and more with the mind of God. We begin to see with eyes of faith the eternal significance of temporal events. The crucial ingredient in this mind renewal process is regular ingestion of everything that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So as we spend time walking through the affliction that God has called or has allowed into our lives, as we seek him in and through that, he is in the midst of that affliction, seeking to change our thinking, our feeling, and how we feel about that affliction. And more we come to the place, we see the internal significance of that temporal event in our lives. This promises for daily renewal and speaks of progressive sanctification, as Paul referred to in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. It's not a one-time drink that we drink, but it's an ongoing, like a fountain, which we drink out of every day. And so as we seek to walk into each day and each experience, in the midst of whatever God has for us, whether that is our own affliction or whether we are walking the road with somebody else who's walking in affliction, then we are seeking to draw them to that fountain that they might partake of. Paul continues with this truth here in verse 17, that nothing in this life will last forever. The moment may seem like something more than for the instant. The problems of life that seem so heavy right now, troubles that seem that they will never end. And often when we are going through times of affliction in our lives from whatever direction, it seemingly does not feel like it's momentary, because we live in an instant generation. We live in the microwave age, where we pop something in, push 2 minutes, and out it comes, overheated, because we should have only put 1 minute. There are people like that. We like to have things instantly done. We want instant healing, and that doesn't take place that way. But yet, here Paul describes it as momentary and light. His eternal mindset enabled him to see them as momentary and light. When Paul is hurting, he fixes his eyes not on how heavy the hurt is, but on how heavy the glory will be because of the hurt. Paul travels with us in the greatness, sorry, God travels with us in the greatness of his might and the long suffering of his wearied patience through all of our tribulation. And so as we walk, he has given us the promise, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That is a promise God has left us with. And so whatever the affliction that we are walking in, then we live in the promise of that and the truth of that reality. See, Romans 8, verse 18 shares with us, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed in us. And so there is coming a day when all of a sudden we will look back and we'll say, wow, that was momentary, that light, even though it seemingly looks like it is like could be like a lifetime affliction that we are walking in. They produce present tense. It is not that the glory is a compensation. It can never be earned or merited, but that the future glory grows out of our present suffering for his name's sake. So as we walk through affliction, as we walk through suffering, then this weight of glory is continuing to increase in our lives. It's an eternal weight. It will go on for eternity. Our afflictions are not meaningless. They are working for you. And when you step from this life into eternity future, you will find yourself relieved from the light affliction of the moment and swallowed up in the far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. But it presently also yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness, as we see in Hebrews 12, verse 11 as well. I'm not talking necessarily that it's all just future related. It's also presently related, that we get to experience the grace of God in the midst of that affliction. And often we hear the testimonies of those who have walked deep times of affliction. They say, I would never want to not walk through that, because I've got to experience God in a real and a new way. And we get the blessings of being able to do that as we walk through him, whatever that affliction may be. We get his abiding presence. We get his abiding strength in the midst of that. And we can rest in him in whatever that may be. And then thirdly, but we also need to live with the realization that the things that we are seeing are only temporary, living with an eternal perspective. I believe Corrie ten Boom has shared this with us. What we believe is what we see. What we believe is what we feel. What we believe is the pressure we feel. We have our eyes on the here and now. Paul has his on the then and there. Let me repeat that. What we believe is what we see. What we believe is what we feel. What we believe is the pressure that we feel. This morning, what are you believing on the truths about who God is? Often in the midst of adversity, we like to bring accusations against God instead of seeking him in the midst of whatever that adversity may be. Everything in this world is temporal. It is merely here for a short time, and it will pass away. We will groan for a few days here, but we will rejoice for endless ages there. We will feel pain here for a short time, but we will experience his glory there forever. The secret of not losing heart is maintaining the proper perspective. Yes, afflictions seem insurmountable, seem like a hill is hard to climb over. But if we keep our eyes on eternity, that this life, however long God gives us, is temporary, and what we don't see is eternal. Moses, by faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he entrusted as seeing him who is invisible. And so he left a comfortable lifestyle, because he was seeing him who is invisible. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God, as we see in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 10. That was true about Moses in his life. Living in the midst of adversity with an eternal perspective. Looking forward to a greater degree to what God has for us next. If all of a sudden he seemingly allows us to walk through life with whatever that affliction may be. The things eternal exist as much now as they ever will be. Eternity is not a mere extension of time, but a condition qualitatively different from time. Eternity is the everlasting now. We live in the midst of it. Although we cannot see it, we believers are already seated in heaven, as we see in Ephesians 2, verse 6. That is our position, our positional truth that God has established for us. The temptation to lose heart is a reality for us as well, and the message of Paul is very much needed for each of us. And so as Paul shared these thoughts with the believers in Corinth, these are also truths that he had to walk in, he had to experience daily. It's not something where he could just say, okay, I've put some standards down, I've accepted this. I believe that Paul daily had to say, no, this is a truth, I'm going to walk in this truth today. I'm going to walk in the truth that I am being renewed by him. I'm going to walk in the truth that he is doing a work in my life, that he is producing for us an eternal weight of glory. And then I'm going to walk in the truth that this is only temporary. As we lose heart, we retreat and we close ourselves off. Our afflictions become all-consuming and threatening to overwhelm us. And as I shared already, momentary seems to take on a life with no ending. Easy, light affliction may be true of somebody else. The temporal seems to become all-consuming. And God has composed and provided the body of Christ to be there for one another. He has called each of us, the body of Christ, to be able to minister collectively towards each other. And we need to be able to do that. Paul in Galatians speaks of bearing one another's burdens, and that we are to do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. At a time like this, we need the church to help lift our eyes to the truth that our inner man is being renewed, that our affliction is momentary and has meaning and purpose, and that there is an eternal sight that is not seen. That is part of the ministry that we have for one another here in the body of Christ. And if this is your state this morning, that you are walking in the midst of affliction, please open yourself up to someone close to you with spiritual insight and make yourself accountable with them. Too often what happens is that, especially they say with heart attacks, that's really true. That when somebody's having a heart attack, what they often do is they make the mistake of retreating. And what they need to do is they need to run towards somebody. And when we walk through affliction, we need to run towards the body of Christ. We need to run towards those that might be able to encourage, might be able to minister to us. And I know that we have many here that have unique gifts and abilities that might be that encouragement to you. Can you find somebody in the body of Christ who you trust to be able to open yourself up to allow them to minister to you at a needy time? And we, the body of Christ, need to be that for one another. But can I also share another opportunity? We have a unique opportunity presented this year as a couple of our missionary families are coming back from the field. And you probably know who they are. That they're going to need somebody that they can tell their story to. I'm not sure all the deep situations that they have walked in and in the midst of. And they're going to need the body of Christ to sit down and listen to them. Do you know what the first thing of missionary care is? The first strength of missionary care is learning how to listen. Wow. I think most of us say, I think I can do that. But no, it's difficult when all of a sudden listening to somebody's story as they seek to walk in the midst of it. To walk in it without judgment, to walk in it without putting on our face, oh man, you're taking up my time. We often communicate a lot through our face. But allowing our missionary couples to sit down and tell their story, to actually ask good questions, to seek them to encourage them to tell their story, and we can be that for one another and seek to be a church who is involved in member care. There will be a time for us to be able to share our story with them. There will be time for us to share encouragements to them, to reflect on their story. But can we be a church that is willing to listen to them when they come? To find opportunities, if that's not a convenient time, say, I would like to talk with you. Can I arrange to meet at this and this time or whatever that may be? Can we go for coffee together? Can we just, you know, go to the park or whatever that may look like as an opportunity? That we might be an encouragement to these two couples. One coming home on furlough, one seeking to in a change of ministry this coming year. The body of Christ, you've been gifted to be a minister to somebody else. If you've walked through affliction, then you know, and you've got experiences, and you can be a comfort to others in the midst of that. Or if you are in the midst of affliction yourself, allow the body of Christ to be that encouragement and blessing to you, as God has designed us to be able to do. Let me just leave it there. Also, just a reminder, there'll be a couple people at the front. If you need prayer, or if you need encouragement, please come forward and talk to them. But let's just close our time in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, once again, thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your grace in each of our lives, and that, Heavenly Father, that you have placed us within this body, a unique body, uniquely and gifted to be able to minister to one another. May you just allow us opportunity to build relationships, to be that encouragement, to be that help and blessing to one another. But Heavenly Father, help us to become people who are willing to listen. For praying this in your name, amen. God bless.